Hi, baby. Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven and our homes. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. And we are also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/NewHavenIndependent or go to your Facebook page, look us up, and you can always hit see first to enjoy all the great programming that we have here on WNHHLP. Good afternoon, gentlemen. It is Monday, September the 13th, 2021. We just got back from a big weekend up at Knee Camp. And on the line with me, I have Uncle Lou. Lou, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys all doing?
Good. Congratulations, my friend.
Oh, thank you, brother. It's just part of it. But the big congratulations is to our guest. So, yeah, you know, we had a good weekend. We'll talk more about Knee Camp. It'll be a good recap show. But I'd love to get on in there, and you know, we've had Grant Smith on. You know, Joe, do the whole thing, brother. This one's a good one.
All right, good. All right, so with us we have Grant Smith Ellis. He's the disabled medical cannabis patient and the president of the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, CRC. Grant was studying political history at Boston College when in 1924 when he felt seriously disabled following complications from surgery. After falling disabled, Grant was introduced to cannabis by his doctor, believe it or not, following an 18-month period when he was in and out of the hospital. As a result of his positive experiences with medical cannabis, Grant became involved with the grassroots cannabis activism by way of volunteering for a wide variety of organizations. He was grateful to be able to assist anything from multimedia technology to regulatory policy, and Grant is also the chairman of the Boston Freedom Rally, which we will be discussing today in this show. Welcome, Grant.
Thank you so much for having me, Lou. And as much as I want to let Luis get away with not getting his clap for winning Connecticut Activist of the Year, I'm not going to let it happen. So I'm just going to give him a round of applause
for that right now. All right, we got to give Lou a big round of applause, but in that vein, we also have to give you a great round of applause because you won an award, too, for the best cannabis news source out there. So that's pretty cool.
You know, we've learned that as we followed your journey, you've kept it 100 as easy as it goes. You don't offer a biased opinion, and you always are spreading the news as the news goes with reputable sources, you know, sitting there listening, taking part of everything and actually being part of that news, which we appreciate a lot. And we're really excited to be a part of everything that we got going on now. Actually, welcome to our show. So since you know our press credentials, what's up with some press passes for the Boston Freedom Rally?
I'm going to tell you the same thing I've told everyone, which is submit an application and hopefully you'll pick them up on Saturday. However, with the whole contingent of Connecticut folks coming up, I'm sure that we're going to have a nice welcome for you without question.
I appreciate you guys. I just couldn't find the link, in all honesty. So I went on the website and I looked through. I went on the volunteers portion. Yeah. I saw I just couldn't find the media part. So that was the only reason. That's why the question came up.
I'm going to tell everyone now where they can find it. And I'm also going to tell you where you can find the volunteer sign up, which obviously you mentioned. And I'll tell you where you can find the nonprofit booth sign up, because if you run a 501c nonprofit of any kind, you should apply for a free booth. But just like the media pass, doesn't mean you get it if you apply.
No. Everything is you have to apply, and we're letting everybody know. This is why Grant's on today. The Boston Freedom Rally is this weekend. There's a lot of information that needs to be out there. So Grant came on. We're going to do a NECAN recap. But the big part of today is letting everybody know what's going on, not more than 2 hours north of where we're kind of sitting. Take your Saturday and do some activism. This is that social activism that everybody has come to love. Grant, tell us, how many years has the Boston Freedom Rally been going on now?
32 years. And before we quickly move on to the awesome history of the rally, the answer to your question is Instagram.org/masscanorg. The first post you're going to see is the media sign up link. It's a Google form. 32nd year of the Freedom Rally. It's a tradition that dates back to 1989. The first one was held in North Adams, Massachusetts. The second one in 1990 was held at the USS Constitution downtown in Boston. And the third one was held where it is still held today, on the Boston Common, the oldest and most historic park in the United States of America. It's a rally to celebrate, originally, obviously, the end of cannabis prohibition. Folks actually don't know, the MassCann organization was involved with the very first piece of legislation to attempt to decriminalize medical cannabis in Massachusetts back in 1996. Great group of folks worked really hard on that. It didn't end up, you know, passing. The legislature kind of mutilated the bill before it got to the governor's desk. But this organization from 1991 through today has always tried to find a way to use the Boston Freedom Rally as a way to highlight whatever it is that may be wrong with our drug laws in Massachusetts and around the nation. And in particular, we hold the rally on the third Saturday of September every single year, because it's right around the time when signature gathering needs to be submitted to get on the ballot for future years. And if folks know, that's how Massachusetts got decriminalization done in 2008. That's how it got medical done in 2012, I think. And that's how it got adult use done in 2016. Citizen-driven ballot initiatives. And that's why we hold the rally the third Saturday of September.
Excellent. And this year, unlike last year, it will actually be a live in-person rally. So people will actually be able to gather and see each other. There will be booths, there'll be vendors, there'll be all kinds of things. Let's get into it right. Well, let's do a little NECAN recap real quick, guys. How was NECAN this weekend? Unfortunately, I didn't get to make it. Again, this is the first time they've had it in a year after the pandemic. So was it everything that everybody expected? Did it live up to expectations?
I'll certainly tell you, I had a great time, although I must be frank and say I somehow managed to attend each day only after the actual convention ended. So Friday I went to the award show at night, and then Saturday I went to a really important Cannabis Center of Excellence and Sensi party that was held to raise funds for a study to allow, hopefully, first responders to use cannabis without risking getting fired. But anyway, what I saw was the very best of the cannabis community and the cannabis industry. This is one of the few times in history we're watching a grassroots community morph into an industry, and sort of seeing that amalgamation happen in real time, and seeing the number of good people there and the number of bad people who weren't there. It all made me very happy. I give a huge amount of congrats to the organizers and all the winners at the awards.
Great. Lou, how about you? How was your experience there?
I had an absolutely amazing time. I was there Friday and Saturday. I got up there Friday about 2 o'clock for the High Beautiful wellness session. So our great friend, I apologize, that was Saturday. I got up there for Ellen Brown's hemp symposium and responsible vendor training. So the responsible vendor training went on through the beginning of the day, which was an add-on. And that actually goes and certified by the state of Massachusetts, because Ellen is a certified Sensimia Seminars is a certified responsible vendor responsible vendor training. So they had that class in the beginning. Then we moved into more about what was going on with hemp. Then there was the Pioneers of Hemp Pioneers of Hemp panel. And that's myself. Mike Goodenough was on there. And then Adam from Urban Acres. So we were very, very excited to have everybody on there. And we started, we got to give a lot of information, got to meet a lot of people who were interested in the space. Then we moved on to the exhibits for a little while, which was very nice, very convention style. It was a business to business on Friday mostly. Got to see everybody talk, get reconnect a little bit with people you didn't see. Then it moved right on to the award event, where I got to see Grant and so many other of our great friends win awards, and everybody was showing a ton of pride for their duties and everything that they were doing. So it was great to be around all those people. Big shout out to Sticky Bud Farms in Maine. They won best dispensary in New England. They got over 12,000 votes. Dave is a good friend, and we really do appreciate him. He's opening up a new dispensary coming in the next couple weeks. And big shout out to him. Talk about a regular guy who just put his heart into it and push forward. So give a big shout out to Maine. We all love our Maine friends up there. We love our Massachusetts friends. Everybody in cannabis is a good time. After the event, it was a pretty low key evening. Got to chill, enjoy Boston. As in full Boston, there was a prosthetics convention going on. So we got a couple great conversations going on outside the hotel. And then Saturday was the wellness session. I went down, Wepa donated a whole bunch of stuff for all the guests. That was another high, beautiful production. I did not attend the session. It was mostly a woman's session, which was aerial yoga, introducing cannabis and yoga, all types of wellness topics that I don't know because I wasn't part of it. And Eve does an amazing job on all of that. And then the convention was awesome. Walked the convention floor for a couple hours. Got to meet some old friends, see some new friends, make new friends. Big shout out to our friend Colleen and Jim over at Cushley. They were front and center as you walk in there, and they showed a lot of love. So, and then Janet was there. I had a great time with Rick, our good friend Rick. So did you notice, Grant, that there was a lot of networking going on there and just reconnecting of old souls ultimately? And it was good to be able to recreate and medicate right outside and enjoy. And there was an actual smoker section. You know, you go right to the smoker, says this is the smoker section, which was pretty cool. And, you know, work happened. What was some of your thoughts, Grant?
Well, no, I think your recap was great. And as to the smoking, yeah, my favorite section of Massachusetts law is MGL 94G. MGL 94G 13C. Which says that medical patients can basically smoke anywhere. Now, Massachusetts isn't as progressive as New York, which allows you to smoke recreational anywhere. And a few years ago, there was some hassling of folks outside the convention center. I saw people who were disabled and on canes, like hustled away to another area, even though they had medical cards. This year, someone must have said, here's what 94G 13C says, because there was no hassling of anyone. And that was very nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. It's nice to see how that event has evolved from the small event at the castle, first one that ever was held. I was lucky enough to attend that one, to now being a three-day event, basically, at the largest convention center in Boston, in the center of Boston. And, you know, it's amazing to see how this industry has grown, you know, from medical into legal. And now we have a new state in the fold, which is Connecticut. So, you know, we pretty much, New England, besides New Hampshire and Rhode Island, is pretty much locked down, including New York and New Jersey. So, I mean, this entire area is almost completely legal. And that's really nice to see. You know, now if we could get some interstate commerce going, that would be even better. But obviously, we have to take baby steps, one step at a time.
I'm just excited. There's a lot of states that allow us to grow. You know, that's where, come October 1st, as a medical patient here in the state of Connecticut, we'll be able to join our friends just like in Maine and Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and be able to produce our own medical cannabis for ourselves in our own grow tents. If you got a 5x5 space, make sure you put your rights to use, you know. You are a medical patient, and even if you don't know very much, there are so many awesome systems that just automate it and make it so easy for you to do what you got to do. There's going to be a ton of classes out there. Reach out to reputable people. You guys hear us here all the time, so you'll be able to touch base with us as well. There's great resources. NECAN had, I want to say, about a dozen different vendors that were selling automated grow equipment. Everything from a socket, a surge protector that did timing and connected to an app, all the way to grow closets that look like really nice dressers or something. There were more open systems that looked like the Miracle-Gro ramp, the whatever grow systems. I'm not here to endorse any of those guys, but you know, you'll see all that stuff popping up. So come October 1st, go out and grow something. Reach out. There's a lot of information going. Get your medical cannabis card, though. That's what the law says. You better have your medical card. So go ahead and get your medical card.
Yeah, there's a lot of good places in Connecticut to get your medical card. You know, Canna Health comes to mind, Higher Health, Bohemian Alternative Health. A lot of places you can go to get your medical card in Connecticut, and a lot of places you can learn to grow. Like we're doing a seminar on the 25th with Ellen Brown from Cincinnati Seminar right at your store, A Touch yep. of Wellness in Meriden. So that's a place to start. But let's get back down to Boston and the Freedom Rally. And let's talk about that, Grant. What did it take to get the city of Boston to allow you to do this event again after, you know, a little bit of controversy? You know, I think the last one had a little bit of controversy to it, and they were pretty hesitant in doing it. What did it take to get it going again this year?
Well, first, and that's a good question. I would say MassCAN is a fundamentally different organization today than it was 2 years ago or even a year and a half ago. And the board that we have now, which is such a wonderful group of people. I'd be remiss if I did not thank them all. Lorna McCafferty, the clerk, Jonathan Chops-Botrus, the treasurer, J. Max Piergolini, one of the directors, Jennifer Gaskin, one of the directors, Jennifer Dudley, one of the directors, and Robert Baby Boy Jeffrey, who's a longtime director as well. And so in the absence of that fundamental shift in the organizational ethos, I don't know if we'd be where we are today, able to say that this rally is going forward on Saturday. I will say, though, I think the foundation for this rally being able to happen was the virtual rally being held last year, because I think that showed the city a degree of good faith on the organization's part. And it reflected in the city's eyes, a degree of trust in the organization and those charged with its stewardship. And so when it came time for the permitting process this year, yes, they waited until 6 weeks before the event to let us have the initial permit meeting. But because of that and the trust built up, we found that our permits were issued one after the other, after the other, after the other. And we're hoping to use this as a very rare second chance to make a first impression. And we hope it's going to reflect well on the organization, the community, and in particular, the focus we put on the trash cleanup organization will ensure that America's oldest park will be left in a better condition than it was found.
That's a huge thing. And I'm super excited and super big to have that topic because, you know, we see that as activists and as social entrepreneurs and people that are pushing this topic, the trash cleanup is going to be huge. So, you know, it takes a lot of work for the beforehand, but we definitely, anybody listening who's heading up, we definitely don't want to disrespect what the Boston Common and leave that place a mess. Pick up after yourself. If you're going to go camping out there, you know, a lot of people go out, pop a little pop up in the middle of the green by yourself, a little.
No, do not do that. The fire marshal will yell at me. Do not put a pop-up tent on Boston Common.
Umbrellas and.
Oh, you're good with an umbrella. Just don't put up a pop-up tent. I don't know why that's such an issue with the Boston Fire Department, but yes, umbrellas, great, things like that, but no pop-up tents, please.
So if you have your umbrella and you're sitting in an area, make sure to clean up that little area that you're at, because that's your responsibility. You know what I mean? Leave the carry in what you carry out, like hiking rules, like anything else. You're going to be any place else. If you see some trash, pick it up. Bring with you some extra garbage bags. So if you're going to go, bring a garbage bag. Don't depend on just the trash cans that are there. If we all depend on just the trash cans that are there, a couple years back, some of those pictures that came out the day after the Boston Freedom Rally were horrible. And that's a big part of why the city, I would assume, the city wants to make sure the place is clean. They probably told you guys that 1,000 times, didn't they?
I think they were very pleased that we So first, I should give a little history here. So there was an issue 1 year where the rally, the day of the rally on the Saturday, vendors left some issues. However, there was a cleaning contractor, folks know Beantown Greentown, who came in and did a sweep Sunday morning. And by Sunday at 3 p.m., it was in a more pristine condition. However, that lag was wrong. And to remedy that lag, what we've done this year is we've, at our own expense, I've learned more about this company called Uline, I think, than I've ever needed to learn. Ordered pallets and pallets of trash barrels, tons of garbage bags, tons of sanitation equipment, and we're going to use that throughout the day, proactively putting it in dumpsters, which we had to obtain permits for and things like that. So we've done something that I think will result in a freedom rally like never before, as to the fact that the operation related to trash cleanup is now not only going to be facilitated internally at our own expense, which is important, but also through a trusted network of cleaning contractors who, like yourself, Lou, and every other vendor, I hope this year, shares a commitment and reverence for taking care of America's oldest park, which is something very important to us.
All right. Yeah. People, a lot of
we love that. Thank you, Grant. Thank you. That's an awesome step. That is absolutely awesome. So anybody who's up there, I will be up there. Joe?
I will be up there. I
that's am right. We will be up there. So we will be up there. I'll be up there Friday night. Getting ready for the weekend. Ultimately, I did not get a booth this year. So I didn't put an application in. I was very happy with going through, and we have a lot of things going on, and it just slipped my agenda, in all honesty. And I putzed up and I didn't get to do it. So I was one of the guys who missed out on their own self. So I will be up there enjoying. I'll be walking around supporting a couple different booths. This will be my first year in 5 years of the live rally that I won't have my own booth. So I've seen all different types of management styles, and I'm very excited about the way that it happened this year. It was such a clean. I've heard such great reviews from everybody that did Targ Park. It was a good year, and especially coming in, and you made a great point. This is a super rare opportunity to make a first impression in so many different ways, not just in this event, but for your vendors that are coming in. This is their first chance to leave a great impression as a second time. That year, let's call it the COVID time. If you're a Marvel fan or something like that, it's kind of like the blip. You know what I mean? It was like, wait a second, there was some actual time gone. And now we can try something again with a whole new procedure in place. The world is at a heightened awareness level. So, you know, there's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be a bunch of people there. There's going to be a ton of safety precautions. I heard you say you have a lot of sanitation and probably a ton of hand sanitizer all over the place. And everybody's going to have hand sanitizer, and bring some hand sanitizer for yourself if that's your prerogative. And whatever your choices are, do your thing. You know what I mean? I'm non-discriminatory.
Well, no.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Is there masks required, or is it optional? I don't know what the laws are in Boston.
We're following all federal, state, and local COVID guidelines. And in the city of Boston, the mask mandate right now is indoors. So anyone coming in or attending the event should know, if you're in any indoor part of the city of Boston, you need to be wearing a mask pursuant to the guidelines. If guidelines change further as the event gets closer, our policy is to adhere to the guidelines established either on the state, local, or federal level. So we're going to be, you know, monitoring that very closely, as I think a lot of people are. As to sanitation, I'm glad I did bring it up in the context of the trash, but I also want to bring it up in the context of COVID safety. So not only have we provided a large number of porta potties and other restrooms, which is crucial in our opinion, we'll also be providing hand washing stations. There'll be a large amount of free hand sanitizer, both provided internally. And I know some other folks have been asking if they can even provide it to the nonprofit. So anyone with hand sanitizer, by the way, if you're looking for a way to help a nonprofit out, we would love your hand sanitizer. We'll take as much of it as you will give us, because we want to not only provide what we think we need, we'd like to go above and beyond. And we've also, I believe, put in a request. I don't know if the actual email went in yet, but we're putting in a request to ask for a vaccination station. But that's at the discretion of the Boston Department of Health, and we don't get the final say on that.
That's interesting.
That's one of those. Hey, if you got a choice, if you want to do it, it becomes a destination. Bless it. I love it. That's a great idea. Yeah, yes. It really supports the Department of Health of Boston. It really supports the government of Boston. It really supports the health of Boston. Yeah, I see, like, I'm getting this vibe. I'm getting this vibe that a Mask Hands initiative this year is to show healing, wellness, hope, not just to the individual, but to your actual environment, to the earth, to everything. Like that, it's resonating across the top here that the health and wellness aspect is a huge portion of it, not just for the individual, but for the community, for the town, for the city, for the earth, you know? So I'm digging it. I'm really digging that.
Yeah.
It's all we have. I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't want to jump in. It just made me think back to the days of, you know, the people who have walked across the common in the past, for the past 400 years. The only thing we can really leave is an impression on the history books. And as intangible as that may be, it really is how you treat your community and how you reflect yourself when engaging in these kind of important and public events on historic grounds or really anywhere. And I think it's an honor in some ways that the city looks at us and says, we'll give you this opportunity. I think the history of the Freedom Rally in many ways speaks to the very best of what American democracy can be, a willingness to go into a place and say how one feels. But it's even better if you can do that in a way that reflects positively on the work that you're doing and brings more allies to the cause. And I think if that's a theme of this year's rally, I will go to bed very happy Saturday night.
Excellent. Now let's get into the nitty gritty of the rally. What kind of events will be going on? I know there's always an education village there. There's always speakers. There's always music. It's a big deal. So tell us a little bit about the different components of the Freedom Rally and what's going to be happening this year.
Oh, sure thing. Yeah. So the I think the focus of MaskHand's educational mission and really institutional mission is to educate the general public regarding cannabis and not only cannabis, but how to utilize one's role as an activist or advocate to make beneficial changes within the regulatory and legislative framework surrounding cannabis. And so what the rally does every year, first and foremost, is create an opportunity to educate the public. So there are two stages at the Boston Freedom Rally. So it's really cool. The Boston Common gets set up from basically the intersection of Beacon and Charles Street all the way to the Parkman Bandstand with a main stage and then a big vendor area. And then on the other side of that, there's a nonprofit area and then a 21 plus area for regulated companies and then an education village stage. So starting at the Ed Village stage, that's going to run from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. as well as the main stage on Saturday the 18th. 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Ed Village stage has a mix of speakers talking for 5 to 10 minutes. There's a keynote or two. And then it has 6 45-minute panels. And those panels are really what I'm really excited about. I don't know if I'm going to get to see them, depending on the level of intensity that goes on that day. But there's a cultivation panel, an extraction panel with Apple Guy, who's awesome. Cultivation is moderated by Ellen Brown. Social equity is moderated by Joe Gilmore. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two. There's a veterans panel moderated by J. Max Piergolini. And then there's one or two excellent other panels as well. There's the medical cannabis panel moderated by Dr. Marion McNabb. And then I'm sure I'm going to kick myself later for forgetting the sixth one. In any event, they're each 45 minutes. They're almost on the hour at 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. And then the last one starts at 6:30. The main stage is even more fun. It's a bunch of 5-minute speakers and then musical acts. There are one or two musical acts on the Ed Village stage as well, Raga Fresh and Diamond Plus. And then the main stage has a bunch of 5-minute speakers, a few videos, and then 6 musical performances leading up to the headliner. Those musical performances are C. Millsy, Easy Baby, Carol Pingo and the Finger Hash Bandits, Dire Sloth, DJ Slim. And then the headliner this year is Immortal Technique playing at around 7 o'clock. So
yes, Immortal Technique. Now, how did you get him? A lot of people don't know, but that he's an underground rapper who's been around for quite a while. And you know,
I'm very excited about that one right there. Yeah. I'm from Brooklyn. So, you know what I mean? It's just,
well, yeah. I'll tell you a little story. I did not tell the way the organization obtained the resources to even be able to coordinate this was the work of, you know, all the people involved, which is impressive. But the reason why I think Immortal Technique is such a good choice is I have a personal connection, not to Immortal Technique, but to his music. In 2004, I was in high school and I was given a book by my Spanish teacher about Las Mariposas. They were the Mirabale sisters in the Dominican Republic under El Jefe, Trujillo. And he was a brutal dictator. And so I read that book. And then right at the same time, I started listening to Revolutionary Volume 2. It must have been like right when it came out. And the combination of that book and Revolutionary Volume 2, I'm certain, is what led me down the path of becoming a political philosopher and wanting to be a priest and all that stuff. Because what Immortal Technique represents in terms of his ability to reflect an informed and cogent perspective on public discourse is everything about democracy. And the fact that he can, in his words, package it into hip hop that's in high demand, I think is just so awesome.
Yeah, I actually had the privilege of interviewing Immortal Technique about 10 years ago, it's almost been. And he definitely very deep, man. The guy is very deep. He knows what he's talking about. And he has a really good perspective on the events that are happening in the world today. And I think it's a great coup that you got him for the Freedom Rally. So congratulations. Kudos.
Oh, goodness. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like he was grateful. And we are grateful that he was willing to bless us by coming up and playing this. It's such a personal honor for me and an honor for the organization. I'm still almost speechless about it.
That's excellent. So you got a lot of speakers, a lot of people from the industry obviously coming in. Who are some of the speakers who's going to be talking on the main stage that day?
Oh, goodness, you're testing my memory here, but I think we have some folks as amazing as Devin Alexander. I'm trying to pull up the list and failing now. Devin Alexander, Ed D'Souza, Judy Foster, so many amazing local activists. Dr. Uma is going to be speaking. Lauren Prey, who's someone who's also awesome. Goodness, there's like at least 55 speakers. Blake Mensing, who's a great cannabis attorney in Massachusetts. Oh, maybe I can cheat a little bit now. Bill Downing, a former president of MassCan. Ulysses Youngblood, who owns Major Bloom, one of the first economic empowerment dispensaries in Massachusetts. Andrew Muddy, who is going to be running the cleanup operation from Beantown, Greentown. And then not only is Ellen Brown moderating a panel, she's also speaking on main stage. Donna Hackett, who's a longtime New England activist. Brooke Andrade, Bailey Johnson, and Bobby Nuggs are both making an appearance from Rhode Island. So you can see we tried to reflect, in my opinion, and this was done by a committee. It wasn't any one person. We tried to reflect the very best of the grassroots activism community across New England, mostly Massachusetts, but across New England. Jason Ortiz from Connecticut, by the way, is going to be speaking as well. So we hope we did a good job and we hope everyone will enjoy, because it was certainly fun to watch the committee put all that together. Very inspiring.
That is excellent. Now, there's always one part of the Freedom Rally that we all love, and that is the vendor. So what can we expect as far as vendors this year?
All right, I'm going to stop you there, Joe, because I know what you want to hear and I know what you want everybody to say. But once again, we have to make sure we stick to the PC stuff. So, Grant, could you just give the standard disclaimer of products and vendors that's on your website that you are going to give standardly? Because obviously he's not the guy that can say any of the stuff that if you know, you know. Just leave it at that. If you know, you know. But what is the standard disclaimer there, Grant?
Well, I wouldn't even call it a standard disclaimer. I have another phrase, I guess, which is the greatest gift two lawyers can give the world is a political philosopher. And I'm absolutely the son of two lawyers. So this is my answer to that. Pursuant to the contractual obligations that each vendor signed up to, there's no vending of THC products or distributing of THC products of any kind allowed on the Boston Common. And you can be certain if you attempt to do such a thing, you're probably going to see me or any number of other people at your booth, some of whom could be non-uniform police officers, yelling at you. And that will be the least of your problems if you do that kind of thing. As to the type of vendors who will be there, it will be everyone from head shops, which is always fun, to craft artisans. We have a rug vendor who comes every year, tapestry vendors, t-shirt vendors. I believe DJ Stenny and his wife from Mary Palmer are going to be doing an amazing tie-dye t-shirt booth. There's going to be, I'm sure, some vendors who will be doing food over by the main entrance. There'll be 15 food vendors. So really a mix of everything. And I'm sure there'll be somewhere between 90 and 120, maybe more vendors. So there'll be something for everyone.
There will be CBD products there, correct?
Well, my disclaimer is as stated, and how you interpret and go with that is on you.
Right. It's pretty, well, that's obvious. It's legal in Boston. And of course, the people who have paid for licenses and everything want the exclusive right to sell it. We understand that. And we understand the legalities of when and where you cannot sell THC products in Massachusetts. So it makes sense to limit those kind of activities. But obviously, that doesn't limit the consumption of THC products.
Well, so
tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's an interesting history there. Obviously, MassCan and the Freedom Rally is first and foremost about civil disobedience. Respectful civil disobedience, to quote someone who's a personal hero of mine, Kyle Elmo Correo. That's what the Freedom Rally is about first and foremost, respectful civil disobedience. And with that being said, no smoking of any kind is allowed on the Boston Common, stipulated in the context of the provisions of MGL 94G13C. However, I am not a lawyer, so nothing I am saying right now is legal advice, and you should read the laws on your own and become your own advocate, best advocate, and whatever it is you choose to do in an act of civil disobedience, you should obviously do so understanding the potential repercussions and otherwise of your actions. So.
I can definitely be raised by lawyers. So was I. So
I just got a ticket 1 year. If you want to ask what happens, a couple years back, cop called me. He goes, "You're smoking weed on the Boston Common." I was like, "You bet your ass I am." And then he issued me a summons. And I said, "Thank you very much for my summons." And I went upon my day and I smoked my weed. I was respectful to the gentleman. He was respectful to me. I couldn't call it any other way. I paid my ticket in time. And I smoked all day on the Common. It was $90. So but that might not be the same right now. This was like 4 or 5 years ago.
So, I got to ask you a question, Lou. Did you get a ticket or a summons? They're two different things.
Yeah, it was a summons. So it wasn't like it was a ticket or anything. And it was just, you know, that's where the civil disobedience comes in. I believe in my part, in my own interpretation, sometimes they got to hand out those little slaps on the wrist and it's not a whole big thing. But yeah. Hey, there was a lot of people smoking out there. And if one person really got, like, they probably handed out probably 100 of those things in the entire day. And it was just, you know.
It is a civil, and so that, I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer, but if you look it up, you'll find that smoking in public cannabis in Massachusetts or cigarettes on the Boston Common is a civil infraction. Now, in general, the advice is you shouldn't do anything that will result in you being somewhere in the system. But at the same time, like I was saying earlier, any disclaimer is always going to say, if you're going to engage in an act of civil disobedience, you should know the ins and outs of what you're doing so that if something does happen, you do not make it worse, which is not, that is the worst thing you could do. And that's not legal advice.
Yeah.
Right.
Pop Brothers at Laws just says, shut your mouth, right? That's what their thing they put on all over the place. Just shut your mouth.
That's it. Just shut your mouth, take the ticket and go away. So this is really a city ordinance. It's got nothing to do with the Freedom Rally's rules. This is the city of Boston saying we don't want people smoking anything on the Boston Commons. They don't want cigarette butts. They don't want roaches. They don't want anything.
So realistically, as everybody has to understand, the Freedom Rally, the organization that holds the Freedom Rally, they're not making these rules. Can't get mad at them. All they're doing is passing the rules over. Hey guys, these are the rules they already have set in place. Let's not break them. Let's listen to them and be your own adult. Be an adult.
I just find it interesting that it's okay to do outside the Heinz Center, which is only a few blocks away, but not on the Commons. So this is specific to the Commons.
It's a park, a public park.
Oh, okay. There we
go. Big difference.
Fleshed out the legalities of everything. So people can't say, why was I able to smoke at NECAM but not here, you know? So now we know. Boston Commons is a park. The laws for parks are no smoking. So that's it, guys. Smoke at your own risk. That's basically what it comes down to.
And every state has those like park department rules as well. You know, New York has.
It's in Connecticut now. They just passed it along with legalization. So yep. We will be dealing with that in Connecticut if we ever tried to hold an event at a public park.
Well, yeah, and, you know, what we have to look forward to is we'll have the Connecticut Cannabis Convention is going to be going on later this year. So big shout out to Eve, Kibra, Joe, and everybody else that's going to be a part of that. You know, it's been going on for a couple years now, and we're looking forward to this year with legalization actually passed. So that's going to be a nice, awesome one. What other cool things are going on, Joe? Let's give a rundown of what's going on, because this is Boston Cannabis Week, if I'm not wrong, right?
Well, let's talk about that, Grant. First, let's go over the Boston Freedom Rally. Starts at what time?
So the Boston Freedom Rally this year is Saturday, September 18th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Please try to come right at noon because there's a lot going on and there will be nothing for you to view or do before noon. But the second it hits high noon and we get the okay, it's going to be a party.
All right. Did you say high noon?
Oh, high is that noon. A pun?
Is it now? It's admission is free, correct?
Yeah, it's in a public park. Come on, come walk free. Right in. And there is a 21 plus area. Folks should know if you're over 21 in Massachusetts, our 935 CMR 500 is the rules related to cannabis businesses. And there's a provision in there that I think it's like 146 or something, 0.146. It's been a while since I've read it, but it prevents you from advertising to people who are under 21. Now, it used to be you could advertise if you could ensure that 85% or less of the people seeing your advertising as a regulated company were under 21. The new rules are that you have to make reasonable efforts to ensure that people under 21 aren't you know, viewing your advertising. So we provided an area on the Boston Common where regulated companies can you know, ensure that the only people who will be coming in to see their advertising are 21 or over. And so if you are over 21, you'll definitely want to head down towards the Ed Village stage, which is near the Parkman Bandstand, because you'll find that 21 plus area and it's worth checking out for sure.
Definitely. Sounds good. Now, besides the Boston Freedom Rally, we've gone over, is there any after parties going?
Oh, there always is. There's nothing official this year for a number of reasons, as I'm sure you both can imagine. Liability insurance for an event right now, in particular, this kind of event was very intense. So we did not end up coordinating any after parties. There are always people who are coordinating things unrelated to the organization around the Freedom Rally. And I guess, as Lou said, if you know, you know.
It's Boston Cannabis Week. So ultimately, there's so many other things going on. So yes, the Boston Freedom Rally is a highlighted event. So now you look at, so this is going to start happening in states all over the globe. We're going to have weeks where it's dedicated to things like liquor. So like in October 18th to the 20th is Las Vegas Cannabis Week. So that's MJ BizCon. That's MCBA's Policy Summit. That's the Native Cannabis Summit. That's a whole bunch of different things. We're now in Boston. It started with me, Cam. There are a couple of events running through the week, if I'm not wrong, through private entities, different businesses.
I should be clear, though. So Boston Cannabis Week is, I don't know if it's registered trademark. I know the people who run it, and they're wonderful, and I know people involved, and I'm so happy to see their success. But I do, I mean, in their interest, in my organization's interest, I should be clear, they are two very different organizations. Boston, now, I get your point, Lou, which is this trend, which I think is awesome, of kind of series of events happening, but Boston Cannabis Week is a specific thing with programming and a concert at Underground at Ink Block, which is awesome. It's I think Freddie Gibbs is headlining. No, I think that's the week after the Freedom Rally, and the Freedom Rally is obviously not associated with Boston Cannabis Week, but the fact that it all flows, you know, and it's not just NECAN. Like, it started back with Turptown Throwdown in August, and then there was a great event, although obviously I don't want to say it was a great event, actually, because I love the people involved with the event, but I'm still hesitant about the concept of cups not allowing home growers. So everyone involved, I respect you on a personal level, but, you know, I'm resistant to corporate subterfuge. Anyway, but then, so that was a great event. Kudos to them for putting it on. And then there was the NECAN this weekend, Freedom Rally, Boston Cannabis Week. So just that whole series of events, it's so awesome. And I'm just honored that we get to play even a little role in that sort of bigger picture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is like weed week, Massachusetts.
Sorry. Well, it's like weed month and a half.
Yeah, right. We got to get something like that going in Connecticut.
We're working on it, Joe. Stop being optimistic. Just be optimistic.
I just said we got to do it.
Because we got the Connecticut Cannabis Convention coming up. That's going to have a cup attached to it as well with a medical review board. Grant, you've heard everybody cheering in here now. We got a lot of those awesome things in the works. So to think that they're not working, huge shout out to our awesome Canna Warrior buddies doing their big thing. Just you always check them out, find them out on Facebook. We like to give them a shout out every show because we like to give a plug in for all of our social activists, our people fighting a good fight, and places where you can connect on the internet. Ultimately, there's a lot of introverts that are in this community, and the internet becomes a place that you can connect with people. So if you're on Facebook or any of those social media sites, find some of the great people on the internet that are doing some things in person as well. But a lot of us are those introverts. Not all of us are extroverts that are out there. And to the extroverts out there doing those things, we appreciate you. But please remember us. That's all. We love you. We'll click like, you know, and we'll participate in all the groups. So if you could do that as an individual listening, take part. It really becomes I hate to jump down the rabbit hole of the internet, but basically it becomes like the Matrix. You can go in and out of the Matrix. You're your own Neo. As long as you're awoke and understand what's going on and understand that the internet's the internet and real life is the real life, you know, come on over, Mr. Anderson. So I'm old, apparently. I'm making references that people don't even know.
I know. Well, I took the red pill, believe me.
I wanted to jump in.
I took two shots.
I wanted to jump in, not on the Matrix thing, although it's always a fun discussion, in particular in the context about how our public sphere is shifting from what was primarily government controlled, like, you know, public forums and places like, you know, your town square or sidewalk, to a digital public sphere owned by private companies. But we'll get there in a second. The first thing I wanted to talk about was the activists in Connecticut you talked about. And obviously, I'm including both of you in this, the Connecticut Canna Warriors. What you all pulled off was one of the most impressive things I've seen since MCAD managed to protect the delivery operator license in Massachusetts. And since they beat Curaleaf up in Maine, the medical caregivers, when Curaleaf and other companies were allegedly using their lawyers to try to shut down 80% of the medical caregivers in the state. That's allegedly, though. But anyway, I just want to say what you pulled off in the face of the corporate subversion, well-funded legislative lobbying efforts and otherwise, was extremely impressive. I hope anyone who's looking at legalization in Connecticut realizes that the lawmaking process is not like someone submits a bill and then it gets through. No, you have to fight for every single word, every single line, and the people in the CT Canna Warriors, every single person involved with that group, you guys in general, you girls, all of you, did an amazing job. And I, even from Massachusetts, we could feel the intensity of that victory, especially after you all won. So you all deserve a huge amount of congratulations.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you. It was a long, hard fight, but don't discount your own fight. I understand. I was scrolling through your Facebook page, and there's something going on in Cambridge now that's pretty important. You want to run that down real quick?
Oh, yes. This is where we get to talk about my other favorite section of MGL, which is 94G, subsection 3, subsection A1I. And if you're wondering, yeah, they all just float around up there, and I look for opportunities to bring them up because I love them so much. But this section of the law in Massachusetts relates to local priority periods for economic empowerment and social equity applicants who are people most harmed by the drug war. Those are the designations for their applicant status in Massachusetts. Now, the problem is, and this is going to happen in a lot of states, so I implore anyone listening.
Oh, we're looking forward to it in Connecticut.
Yeah, I implore folks who are learning about drug policy or trying to implement it to pay attention to this key facet. When you implement cannabis licensing, always remember that it's going to become per se a bifurcated process, which means that there's going to be a local level process first and then the state level process. Do not only give equity priority status for application review on the state level. It needs to be coupled with either a general mandate on the local cities and towns who are allowing cannabis businesses to take equity status into consideration, which is my preferred approach, or you need to go to each city and town, like is happening in Cambridge, which is what I'm about to get to, and say to them, hey, The state didn't do this. If you don't prioritize equity, then you are going to undermine the entire licensing structure. But if you do, you can set the tone, teach people this lesson, and maybe we can fix it. So Cambridge, which is known as a very progressive city, realized this issue with that bifurcated process and the way it was undermining the commission's ability to achieve the Cannabis Control Commission in Massachusetts, its ability to achieve its equity mandate. And what's fascinating is in a case that was just heard by the SJC a few weeks ago, Madiri versus Salem, the justices said in the opinion, which was so amazing, this is the problem. This is the fundamental crux of the entire breakdown in the equity licensing structure in Massachusetts. Now, I call it a breakdown because there are more non-equity companies that open than equity companies. The number is getting better because of a few things related to delivery priority for just equity companies. And I'm going to get to that in a second because Cambridge kind of encompasses these two issues. But anyway, that's point one related to the stressing the equity priority for local cities and towns. But the thing that's happening in Cambridge is tonight, Cambridge 2 years ago voted on a priority period for economic empowerment applicants seeking retail host community agreements. 2 years ago, in the summer of 2019, I was intimately involved along with Joe Gilmore, Omni Garner, Mike Crawford, a lot of other amazing activists, fighting to create this priority period for local host community agreements for economic empowerment applicants. And the last 2 years, so the period gets passed, right? But there was a huge amount of opposition from a local medical dispensary and a group of local medical dispensaries who were trying to get themselves included in the equity priority period for host community agreements. And what was their argument? That section of the statute I told you about earlier, 94G3A1I, says that local cities and towns cannot use permitting ordinances or zoning bylaws to prevent the conversion of an existing operational medical dispensary into a adult use dispensary, right? Well, these medical dispensaries were trying to say, and I'm disgusted that they did this, by the way, to this day, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, and they probably know this. They tried to say that that section of the law meant that a local city or town could not create an equity priority period for HCAs. And I said, well, and a bunch of other people said, that's ridiculous. And the Cambridge city of Cambridge agreed, move forward with its equity priority period. One of the medical dispensaries, Revolutionary Clinics, sued the city of Cambridge in 2019, after the priority period went into effect, and said, as part of the lawsuit, that it was racially discriminatory against non-equity, which I read to mean white-owned medical companies. Now, they dropped that lawsuit due to community pressure, but that's the history of the two-year period, right? Now, the city council tonight at 5:30, I'm just realizing I have to actually go and testify in a few hours. Thank you for reminding me, Louise. The city council tonight is thinking about extending the retail HCA priority period for retail licenses for equity companies from 2 to 3 years and making it for both social equity and economic empowerment. And they're so that's awesome. And they're doing something else that's even more revolutionary, which is you may have heard me talking about earlier about why the delivery licenses in Massachusetts are a little different. There's a delivery operator license, which allows you to own a warehouse, buy product at wholesale from cultivators and manufacturers, and then sell it directly to consumers online. You have to do the delivery, but you don't have a storefront. You sell it to them through an online portal. Then there's another model called the courier model, where you basically act as an Uber Eats company for existing brick and mortar dispensaries. Both of those license types can only be given to economic empowerment and social equity companies for the next 3 years at minimum. However, Cambridge said, let's go one step further. We can already only give HCAs for delivery licenses to EEs and SEs for 3 years. Let's make it 4 years instead. And so Cambridge tonight is voting on increasing their delivery HCA equity period to 4 years instead of three, which is something no one has done. Came out of absolutely nowhere and is now going to set the standard, because when other towns go to do their zoning or ordinances, people will say, hey, Cambridge was willing to do a fourth year for these equity delivery companies. Why won't you? And I think that's awesome.
That is awesome. And that's tonight you're going to get to vote on that. We're almost out of time. So what I wanted to do was have you go over how we can reach you about the Boston Freedom Rally. And if people want to go testify tonight in Cambridge, whatever, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, Well, normally I would say just reach out to me. Now I would say that is hard because I don't know if I'll see it. But if you want to find out more information, you can find me at Grant Smith on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram, Grant Smith Ellis, I think. And I'm also on the MassCanOrg Instagram. You can find me there. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, although I probably won't respond there. I'm only on these platforms, by the way, to spike corporate cannabis consultants. I really just don't like them. So I go around on platforms they use just to sabotage their nefarious malfeasance. But anyway, so that's my social media presence. And I don't normally do this, but I've been not doing so well. So if you want to support me, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/GrantSmithEllis. Any amount you give me goes to helping to provide information for free. It will always be free to the public. But as a benefit, you get some of my bigger stories an hour before they go out on social media and on my website, which is GrantSmithEllis.com. So thank you, Joe.
There you go, Grant. Thank you. And they can find more about the Freedom Rally, of course, at the Facebook page of MassCan or the Boston Freedom Rally Facebook page. Uncle Lou, how about you real quick?
We appreciate everybody. We've got a couple moments. We're getting ready to go. You can find me at most places, Hemp Farmer Lou, on the internet at wepafarms.com. We have some classes coming up, so check out wepafarms.com for more information on everything we got going on. Joe, the education series is getting ready to roll out. We have a lot of classes in a couple different states popping up. Thank you to everybody from all over the tri-state Massachusetts, New England area for all the support that they've always helped us down in Connecticut and the connection and networks as it goes around. Big shout out to Grant and all the award recipients, Rick, Janet, Bobby, Bailey, everybody that's kind of been involved. Joe, how are you doing? When are you back? Let's talk. What's up, Joe?
All right, I'm back. I come back Thursday night, so I will be here from the 17th all the way to the 26th. So I will be attending the Boston Freedom Rally, and I will be attending both Ellen Brown's class on the 25th and the CT Cannon Warriors High Bazaar on the 25th as well. So, and as far as if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on the internet, Joe LaChance, from on Facebook or at GoGo Joe's or on the Cannabis Corner Facebook page. I really don't do Instagram. I'm sorry. But yes, things are great here in Puerto Rico, but I am missing the action, I got to tell you. So, roll another. We'll talk when we get back to Connecticut. And I will see you all on Saturday, guys. It's going to be fun. Luke, you want to ride up together? Let me know. You're going Friday night. But I will see you guys Saturday.
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
See you later, guys.
Have a good one, Lou, and I make sure your name's not on the list again.
And I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was going to go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. La, da, da, I'm taking da, da, da. It next semester and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.